Let's do this.
Alcohol is one of the most highly processed, high sugar things that you can put in your body. The majority of the people that use Feel Free use it for both a caffeine and an alcohol replacement.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of On Point. Today we have a lifelong innovator and investor in the international business and financial world, as well as a former Texas oil man. He joins the show today to discuss how he recovered from alcohol addiction and found wellness in the form of plant medicine. Hi, JW. Thanks for joining us today. Just so you know, these last 8 months, I've taken a break from alcohol and just started this wellness journey. And in doing that, I came across you, your story, and Botanic Tonics, which you are the founder of.
So how's your experience with the 8 months?
I have to tell you, I have never felt better. Just cutting it out every weekend I was doing it, or a glass of wine here and there, and I would have headaches. I'm getting older now. I'd feel groggy and I wasn't motivated. And cutting all that out, I have felt like a different person. Truly, I know that sounds dramatic, but I really have.
No, I hear it at least a dozen times every day. It's not the people that are, you know, like me that had serious issues and all that. It's people that just feel like, you know, they're getting a little bit older and their life is just a little bit out of balance. And it's amazing when they stop what a difference they see. They don't realize that, you know, you can feel and be that much more productive without it.
Right. And it's weird too. I thought I was going to miss it. I think the hardest part for me is like the social aspect of like going out and being like, can I have a Diet Coke? Or, you know what I mean? But I'm finally starting getting over that, because when I wake up in the morning, I'm not hungover and I can go on a walk and I can go do this. And I, you know, I'm not feeling like complete shit the next day. It's been nice.
Yeah.
I want to start with you, JW. You have an incredible story. Let's talk about how you got here today. What's the backstory?
So, kind of, as they say, a long, strange trip. I actually started out in the oil and gas business in Texas and developed a couple of very successful companies and sold those. My mentors growing up were the real wildcatters from the old days of Texas oil field. And the general theme was, you know, work hard and party harder. That mainly was the base of that was alcohol, but there was a plethora of other drugs too. But alcohol was kind of the go-to for the group that I was running with. My first drink was 15.
Okay.
I started in the oil field when I was 18. I went right out of high school as a laborer in the field in the oil and gas. But as my success increased, or what I thought was success at that time, my alcohol usage increased. And then it got to a point where my alcohol usage accelerated faster than my success.
And how long were you in that industry for?
I was in from about 1980 until, you know, 2000, along in there.
Okay. So a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah. 20 years, right? Talk to me. You were very successful. You were making a lot of money. There had to be like an epiphany or a rock bottom moment that made you be like, okay, I want to leave this behind.
There was internally and then there was externally. I'll explain.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there. I remember the moment. I'm sitting in my bedroom inside of 16,000 square foot house and then have the cars and the planes and the boats and, you know, all this stuff that is way beyond what I ever dreamed I would have. And I'm sitting there with a drink in my hand, and we were having a party. There were about probably 400 people there for Obama. And he was in our living room giving a speech, and I'm sitting there in the bedroom by myself. And I just realized that I said, I'm absolutely miserable. And things had started to happen, car crashes and just fights and not knowing what I did the day before. Things were getting really out of control. Soon thereafter, there was an intervention and I was shipped off to 90-day inpatient treatment in Atlanta. And that's really where my life really pivoted. I came out of treatment a much different person than what I went in.
I mean, that's what you can hope for.
Yeah, I guess for a lot of people that doesn't happen. It takes multiple times or it never happens. You know, I started working when I was 14 or so. It was the first time ever that I had not worked for a period of time and really just focused on myself.
How was that?
It was perfect for me because of the environment that it was in. I went to a treatment center that specialized in commercial airplane pilots and doctors. I mean, my thing was, you know, I'm able to control everything else in my life and be successful. I can control this too. And I had this voice in my head telling me over and over again that you can do this, you got it. When in reality, that was insanity because I couldn't. And I tried and tried and tried and couldn't do it. So the definition of insanity, you know, you keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. And that's what I was doing for a long, long time. But treatment itself was the different sessions, one-on-ones, groups, and all that was kind of, to me, just set the stage. Because my light bulb moment was I was living with three doctors in a condo there. The campus. And one night we were watching the movie A Beautiful Mind by Russell Crowe about a mathematician that's a genius that also is psychotic. And at the end of that movie, he's walking along with his arch nemesis, and the guy goes, you know, you seem like you're doing better. Do you still see them? And he looks over, and of course they're there, and they wave back at him. And he looked back at him and said, you know, I do, but I've learned not to engage with them. And it just dawned on me that I'm no different than he is. I don't see them, but I damn sure hear them. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing what they're telling me to do. Then it dawned on me that up until that point in life, I had not only believed everything I thought, I'd acted on it. Mm-hmm. And not understanding that, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're thinking is just bullshit, you know, it's craziness. I had, for whatever reason, just been running around fight or flight, acting on whatever craziness came up in my head.
Did the facility turn on Beautiful Minds for you, or did that just happen to be on, like, randomly on the TV and you watched it?
No, it was just random. We were just flicking through movies and it came on, and I'd actually never seen it before.
Wow.
Yeah. Then I started thinking, well, if I'm that ignorant about really how my thought process, I need to get in and really start studying. So I started studying neuroscience, and I'm a research fanatic. And I got everything I could get my hands on in layman's terms, and then, you know, even more than that. And I started learning about the new brain versus the old brain, and how the old brain is fight or flight and it's very fast. The new brain has very immense storage capacity, but it's a slow processor.
What exactly do you mean between new brain and old brain?
So there's basically the original part of your brain, the smaller interior part that we started out with. It's a reptilian brain. It's strictly, connected to the vagus nerve that goes to your stomach. And all it is fight or flight, which, you know, when man started, that's really all that was important. And it works extremely well. It's fast, you know, and it keeps you alive, or tries to keep you alive anyway. Problem with that is that things are more complex now. And over time, a new part of the brain developed, which is the upper part, frontal part. And in that, it's a huge storage device. Unfortunately, it's an extremely slow processor. And one of the books said, here's a test. If somebody sends you a charged email, respond to it immediately, like you normally would, but set it aside and come back the next morning and read how you responded. And I started doing that. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's like the person that sent this, that wasn't what they were saying to me. Yet I interpreted it this way, and I immediately got nasty back. And it would have a completely different response because I was just acting off of fight or flight. And my mode was fight. You know, if someone says something, I'm going to immediately come back at them. And I still do that on occasion. And it's amazing. It sometimes takes days for the real, what I feel like the correct response to come out. And it's just because your brain is, you know, the new brain is processing all that data over time.
That's so interesting. I actually don't know too much about that. So you learned about this in rehab and then dove deep into it. And then did you take that into your business?
I did. Because I used to take pride in making fast decisions.
Right.
I thought, you know, that's a good thing. And now if it's anything that has any weight to it at all, I purposely take my time. And sometimes I'll take a week or so to think about it. And I'll come up with a completely different. When I first have something come up that I need to make a decision, I'll write down, you know, what I think, how I should respond. And then I'll look over time, I'll look at that. By the time I actually wind up do responding a week later. So it's 90% of the time it's completely there.
That is such a good point to make. Do you let those people know that, hey, I need time before I respond to you, or you just don't respond?
I'll tell them I need a few days to think about it, or I want to sleep on it or whatever, and respond back to them when I come to a decision. I truly think that this is one of the things that should be taught early in the classrooms. It's my opinion that a big part of the suffering that people are going through is because they're running around only using, lack of a better term, half their brain. They're responding to everything in life by fight or flight, like I was. And then they wonder why they make bad decisions, why bad things happen. It's because they're running around like basically like an animal.
Right. Especially think that this day and age with technology, everything is so fast and everything is like, you need to have an answer. You need to post that social media thing for your business. What you're saying too is it's okay to take a couple days to process it. And then actually your answer or the outcome may be completely different.
It's going to have way more weight too, and probably way more value to you. We think that the value is in a quick response. That's not always the case. The value is in the best response, especially longer term. Mm-hmm. And that can take time.
Do you do this in your personal life also, or just in business?
I started applying it across the board. And that's one of the things that when I came out of treatment, of course, I'd stopped drinking and had a drink since, which is 12 years.
Oh my God, that's 13. Amazing.
But that change in thought process was one of the big things that just changed my life.
Before we switch gears, anything that you want to tell the listeners that are kind of going through something similar with either drinking or something else and that they need to get help? Any advice that you have about this transition period or asking for help, getting the help?
If they were like me, I knew way before it happened that I needed help. But I kept telling myself I'm too important, or if I leave for that much time, my business is going to fall apart, my relationship's going to fall apart. Well, the irony of it was it was falling apart because of what I was doing. And what I realized when I went was that the better choice is to take the time off to go do what you need to do to get yourself right and come back. And then you'll be 10,000% more productive than you were before. And don't get caught in that. It's almost like a hamster in a wheel. Feel like you got to get in that wheel every day and keep it spinning, or the world's going to stop. Mm-hmm. And the reality is the world's not going to stop. I would suggest to anybody that was like me to put the ego aside and put all that self-importance aside and all that and go do what needs to be done.
And you would say it was the best decision you made?
I can't say that I made the decision. Because there was a pretty heavy hand of everybody around me that put on me to go either do it or else.
Yeah. But I mean, you said that, but even before you had the intervention, you already knew. You already felt it.
I knew, but I think without everybody else hammering down on me, I probably would have just continued to try to figure out a way to control it like everything else in my life. And I would have, I doubt very seriously if I'd still be alive today.
Wow.
Or I would have run over somebody or something like that and been in jail for the rest of my life.
Have you reached out to those people that did an intervention to you and thanked them? Or I'm sure you have.
Yeah, definitely so. The people that do that are people that really care for you, that take the time to do stuff like that. And they saw that I was killing myself and they didn't want that to happen. And they stepped in.
Yeah. That's very powerful. So I know after you got out of rehab, you went home and they told you in rehab that you could not pretty much go back to your old life. You had to leave your job. And I think you moved, right? And then had to cut off your friends. Tell us about that transition period and then how you went on a sabbatical and got into plant medicine. Because I think this transition period is like key.
All of what you just described, I took it to heart when they said, you know, change everything, you know, change places, change people, change all that. I did all that. Can't say that life was infinitely better, but I wasn't happy because I was using the alcohol to self-medicate. Ever since I can remember, I've had an issue with social anxiety. I just don't feel comfortable around people, much more so with animals than with people. And especially larger groups or, you know, just social scenes, I feel kind of awkward. First time I took alcohol, it's like, boom, and I'm the life of the party now. Mm-hmm. It was just like love at first sight. So when I got sober, I had a better life, but I still had the same problem that I had all along. And that was, didn't feel so, kind of isolated myself to some degree. I had a saying, you know, turn into a pumpkin at 5 o'clock. So, you know, really wouldn't go anywhere later at night because I didn't feel comfortable doing that. If I don't find something to fix this, eventually I'll go back to doing what I was doing before because I don't like this. Mm-hmm. I don't like feeling like this. That sent me on this journey of trying to find a replacement for alcohol that didn't have all the carnage associated with it. And I took a sabbatical. I wound up actually launching a fintech company, financial technology company in Southeast Asia, based out of Vietnam. And I lived there for a few years. And while I was there, I got into Eastern medicine and started exploring the different plants that they use there. Prior to that, I had taken a trip to Vanuatu and Pacific Islands with a bunch of guys just partying several decades before. And I'd had a kava ceremony there and kind of kept that in the back of my mind. That was kind of a neat experience. So I decided to try to find a replacement. I tried everything that I could get my hands on that said it's euphoric or social lubrication. And none of it really did anything for me or didn't do what I, you know, wanted to do. I tried everything illegal, and almost all of that did way too much. I wanted something that I could do, go to work out, drive a car, could do on a regular basis because I needed to treat my issue on a regular basis.
I have to ask you a question. Yeah. Was your wife or your doctor or the people at the rehab center like, I don't know if this is a good idea. Like, you're kind of playing with fire. You're right on that line. Did they ever come to you and say that?
Oh yeah. My wife was very concerned and thought I was slipping back off the edge again. I just kept telling her, I said, either figure this out and find a solution, or I'm going to go back to who I was before. And I know you don't want that.
Right.
Because we both know where that will end. She gave me the leeway to, I set up an informal lab in my house. I did the research. I found all the plants around the world that have been used for social anxiety over the last 3,000 years. I went and got some. I ordered some in. I started trying them. None of them by themselves did what I wanted it to do. And then I started mixing them. Some of this stuff no one had ever mixed before. But I was determined and probably a little bit crazy because there wasn't any safety data at the time.
Right.
You know, I started mixing this stuff, and because some of it, when you mix it, the wrong percentages, the wrong strains and plants and all that, it can give you unintended consequences. So I would get wired up or I'd get knocked out, or this went on for 2 years. And I finally found the right combination. That's how I got into consumer packaged goods.
So you were like a scientist. I like picture you in there doing all this stuff.
An informal scientist, yeah.
How did you get the plants shipped to you? You were getting a bunch of different stuff and you were doing it in your house. I just like, what was that process like of finding the right one and then getting it shipped to you?
Hey, have you heard about Vagaro? It's the best place to book hair appointments, facials, and even workout classes. They have a huge marketplace where you can find local beauty, wellness, and fitness businesses that fit your exact needs. Plus, with the Vagaro app, you can book services and classes whenever, wherever. Who knows? Your new favorite self-care business could be a simple search away. Download the Vagaro app. That's V-A-G-A-R-O to get started today.
Yeah, a lot of it was just, you're dealing with these people and they're supposed to be sending you this and you get that. And it's just a lot of kind of gray market stuff.
But yeah.
It was an interesting journey. And some of it I actually went and got and pirated back.
That sounds stressful.
But I guess it just shows you how important I knew it was
right
to me. I knew for a fact that I would go back to drinking.
So my next question is, so you finally found the right concoction and then you had your friends try it out. What was the process like of being like, okay, this is it. Now, how do I brand this? How do I make the name? How do I make this a business?
I had a firm understanding of how to build a company from scratch, learn a new industry, marketing, social media, all that kind of stuff. And I just used that. And then I reached out to people that I knew that were successful in this space, leaned on them to learn as much as I could from them. And then I just did it, kind of trial and error, a lot of it to begin with. But we launched to the public in May of 2020, and it's just been a rocket ship ever since.
That is a huge accomplishment. And I also have to say, you guys are under 3 years. So yeah, the fact that you guys have done this all in such a short time is like a whole other accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that's an executive at one of the big software companies. He was like, it'd take us 3 years to get out of the lab. Because you've done all this when we'd just still be working on the formula.
Wow. So I do have some more questions for you about the plant medicine and then I guess realizing the benefit. You were getting this shipped over. How are you knowing like which plants to use? And how did you learn how to process it into like a liquid form? Like, how did you know all this?
Research online, studying, a lot of time mining Reddit and seeing what people were doing and what they weren't doing. And I mean, that's the beauty of living in today's age is there's infinite information out there. If you'll take the time to sit down and focus on it, mine it out, pretty much everything is out there. Some of it was my time in Southeast Asia. Like I said, I got into, there was one Chinese lady that I really spent quite a bit of time with while I was there, just learning from her different potions and stuff that she was putting together and used all that.
How did you know like the right way to process it from this lady?
That, and there's a handful of plants from around the world that have really been used for what I call social lubrication. You know, you have coca in Central and South America, kana in South Africa, you have kava in the Pacific Islands, you have kratom in Southeast Asia. And then you have alcohol. And of all those, alcohol is an outlier because all the rest of them in their native settings, they're not processed or they're very minimally processed. And alcohol is a highly processed food. It's interesting to me because sometimes you'll run into someone that will sit there and tell you how healthy they are. They don't eat junk food, all this stuff, and they have a drink sitting in front of them. And you're like, that is one of the most highly processed, high sugar things that you can put in your body, but they don't connect the two dots because alcohol is so ingrained in our society that that may not be the healthiest choice for me. And what I noticed was they didn't do that in all these other societies, and they didn't have the social or physical downside that we do with alcohol. And I connected the dots of saying, look, it's not the substance, it's us monkeying with Mother Nature. A prime example of that is coca leaves. People in Central and South America chew coca leaves their entire life, never have any issues. But then we come along and we take gasoline and extract two of the 50 alkaloids and create cocaine. That usually ends much differently. And unfortunately, they do the same thing with some of these other plants like kratom. Kratom gets a really bad rap in the U.S. because 99% of what's sold here is an extract, just like extracting cocaine from coca leaves. And it becomes about getting high. It's not about health and wellness or social anxiety or productivity enhancement. It's something totally different.
So with these leaves like kratom and the coca leaves, if you don't process them, do they have a different effect on you?
Much, much different. Yeah. Because you're getting all the different compounds, the different alkaloids. You're getting 50 some as opposed to concentrations of two. What they've done is they figured out which ones are the real feel-good ones, and they're focusing on those versus the whole thing. That's, you know, and the other thing is that if you have the whole plant with the fiber and everything else, you can't physically get enough of it in your system. Whereas if you concentrate it, now you can get 1,000 times more in your system than what Mother Nature intended for you to do. And that's the problem. It's the dose. You know, the old saying, the dose is the poison. That's with anything. I mean, you've heard examples. I mean, you can die from water if you consume too much water. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. If you do too much of it, and if you put it in a form that's easier to get it in the body faster, larger quantities, that's when you have problems or can have problems.
So you're telling me that I could have like 5 coca leaves in my mouth. It would still be less than like cocaine?
Oh, hell yes. You'd have to chew enormous amounts all day to equal what you're getting in cocaine.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you've ever had them before, but if you have them, if you tried coca leaves, it's a much different experience.
What is it like?
It's more like caffeine.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, it's not knock your head off like a line of cocaine is.
That's probably why you were saying that other people in other countries are chewing it like all day and starting when they were really young too, right?
Right.
Wow. Okay. So you keep saying that with Botanic Tonics that the benefit is to make you more social. However, I do know that there are other benefits to it. Let's also talk about the other benefits.
I created it for social anxiety. The unintended part of it was when I mixed these two plants together was that it created a caffeine replacement. And I know that sounds strange, like two totally different things, but you have two different plants that really are for different things. And when you mix them together, synergistically, you get both. The majority of the people that use Feel Free use it on a regular basis, and they use it for both a caffeine and an alcohol replacement. And it actually works for both.
So you could take it like in the morning when you wake up?
Yeah. We have a lot of professional athletes that use it. It's an incredible productivity enhancer. The way people ask me how to describe it, well, you got one plant that's kind of chilling, social. You got one plant that's uplifting and endurance and all that. And what you're creating is what I call chilled energy. So it's not like a jittery energy like caffeine can be if you get too much of it. It's a, I feel good, laid back, relaxed, but I'm energized and focused on what I'm doing.
I mean, that sounds awesome.
It's pretty amazing, really. And I'm not saying that because it's mine. The proof is in the pudding. I mean, we're serving now 1.3 million servings per month.
Wow.
And growing at an unbelievable rate. So other people feel the same way.
Wow. And what is the addiction process like with this?
Anything that makes you feel good. I don't care if that's caffeine, alcohol, sugar, sex, whatever it is, you can become dependent on it, especially if you use larger quantities. Feel Free is no different. If you use larger quantities and you have addictive tendencies, you're going to become dependent on it just like you would anything else. What I have found personally, though, is I could not stop alcohol. It goes back to this concentration and dosage. Alcohol is incredibly efficient. But it's extremely hard to dose it because you want another and like you tip over that edge and now you want three more. And I don't get that with Feel Free. I sip it throughout the day and I just don't really ever have any desire just to go crazy with it like I did with alcohol. And I think because it's in its natural form, just like we talked about with the coca leaves, it's slower getting in your system. It's a different process. It's not about getting high. It's about having a more productive and a happier day.
Is there a certain amount you drink for like which effect? Like, all right, I only want to have a sip to be more focused. I only want to have three sips to be more social, or like, what is that?
The smaller amount that you do, the more productivity enhancement, energizing it's going to be. The more you do, the more sedative it's going to be. Again, very similar to the more alcohol you do, the more depressing it can become if you do too much. It's all about figuring out the right amount for you and not doing too much of it. What I tell people is that's not really the right question to ask because to me, that's a given. I've been that way. Anything that ever makes me feel good, I want more of it.
Right.
It's really more about if I use this on a regular basis, is it going to hurt me physically or socially? Can I integrate this into my life and not have physical or social harm? And what I can tell you is unlike alcohol, with Feel Free, I have not seen that. And we've not had reports from other people, as long as they do it in a responsible way. Early on, I did what I would consider abusive levels of it for about 4 months. And I checked my blood chemistry versus my annual blood just to make sure the liver enzymes were elevated or blood sugars or any of that. I didn't see anything. And we have a lot of professional athletes that use it and they do all kinds of sleep testing and all that. Nobody's reported any issues with elevated liver enzymes or anything like that, even at higher levels.
When you did the overdosing for the 4 months, I want to hear about that. What did you experience?
So I was doing 6 bottles a day.
Okay. Is that a lot?
This is a lot. I got a lot done. I felt a little toxic, but as I said, it didn't do anything that I could see physically. It wasn't the feeling that I was after because it became quite a bit more euphoric. By later in the day, I was buzzed and I don't like feeling like that anymore. I like to feel in control. Maybe that's what some people are after, but it wasn't the feeling that I was after. Because I knew that some people would abuse it, just like they abuse food or sex or anything else.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't doing something that would harm somebody.
You kind of mentioned it, but I just want to talk about it a little bit more because this is so interesting to me. You mentioned it, but it's also on your website that a lot of professional athletes take this. So I saw on your website that NFL players, people in college, athletes working out are all taking this, and it doesn't get them in trouble or like the universities can't do anything about it. Talk to me about that because it's natural.
We are the official tonic of USC athletics, yeah. UT athletics, FSU athletics. First time ever major universities that embrace plant medicines.
Wow.
Or herbal supplements like this. And they went through their own full vetting process and all that. And we have a lot of airplane pilots and police and, you know, and doctors. There's a lot of people out there that in talking to some of them, they test the hair follicles for alcohol. They can't really do anything that would make them feel a little better. But this is something that's not tested. So for those people, it's like it's a wonderful thing.
This might be a stupid question, but can you drive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had 3 athletes at the last Olympics that were competing while using it. 2 of them medaled.
Wow.
And we get reports all the time from runners and they're talking about how it's increased their performance. And we don't have any studies done on any of that. I'm just saying we have people reporting all the time what's done this or that. And I know for me personally, I use it every time before I go work out. And it allows me to push farther.
Right. Well, yeah, it's more energy, like you were saying, but also it's more focused. So then you're focused on like, okay, I'm working out right now. I'm doing this for an hour. So that's got to help you.
Yeah.
Are there any other plant medications that you have tried and liked?
I've tried pretty much everything under the sun, both natural and synthetic throughout my life. There's things that I think that are wonderful for certain occasions and situations, but they're not things that I'd want to take on a regular basis. I mean, even like cannabis. Cannabis is wonderful for certain things, and some people find it wonderful for regular consumption. But to me, that's not what I'm after, because cannabis for me slows me down or chills me out to the point where I don't feel like doing much.
Yeah, you want to curl up in bed and watch TV.
And I don't really, that's not really what I want for my life, which, you know, I'm not saying that's bad. That's what someone wants. That's fine. But that's not what I'm after. I want to get up and crush a 14-hour day and do as much as I can every day and feel good while doing. That's what I consider a good life.
Totally. What do we see next from Botanic Tonics? Do we see other avenues of liquid forms, or talk to us about that?
Yeah, so currently it's available in the 2-ounce shot. Like most things, again, Mother Nature is protecting us. Most things that are like this have a really strong flavor to them. So Mother Nature's like, you know, you shouldn't be drinking a gallon of it. It's not, this is the same way. I mean, it's has a very strong. So one of the biggest complaints we get is people that said, I just can't handle the flavor. So we're coming out next week, the capsule version.
Oh, wow.
Also, people that travel a lot to carry those little glass bottles around and to the airport, what have you. This allows you to put a 30-day supply in a little jar, just like you would your vitamins, and away you go.
So one capsule is like one bottle?
No, it's 6 capsules equal one bottle. So, and there's 2 servings to a bottle. So 3 capsules would be a serving.
Got it. Same feeling as if you took 1 or 2 sips.
There's 2 differences. One is you don't get, the kava has kind of a novocaine effect. So you get kind of a numbing of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that if you're bypassing your mouth with the capsule. The second thing is it takes about 30 minutes for the capsule to break down in your digestive system. Whereas when you do the tonic, it's about 15 minutes and it hits. So it takes about 15 more minutes to hit and you don't get the mouth numbing, which is another thing that some people don't like. I kind of like it myself, but some people don't like that numbing of the face.
Anything else that you would like to share and let our listeners know about Botanic Tonics, about entrepreneurship?
I think specific to Botanic Tonics, now that we're an official company, we've set up a R&D facility with the scientists and all that. We have a plethora of other formulas that are coming out next year. I've kind of in the background been working on other stuff. I'm listening to people and the issues that they're having. A lot of people want a good natural sleep aid. I've really come to appreciate how many people have problems with sleep. Sleep is one of the most important things health-wise that you can focus on. So we've come up with a formula for sleep, and then we've come up with another formula that's a much more energizing formula, and also come up with one that's more of an aphrodisiac that people have been requesting. So I look forward to delivering some of these other products next year.
Well, that's amazing.
If you have an idea, go for it. In hindsight, I spent a lot of money and time in prior businesses trying to do everything myself and not really leaning on people around me. And what I've found now is that if you'll go to people in the industry, a lot of them will take the time to mentor you. Probably they went through the same BS learning curve themselves. And if you approach them in the right manner, a lot of them will be more than happy to help you. And you can save yourself a tremendous amount of time and expense leveraging somebody else's learning curve.
That's awesome advice. So to not be afraid to ask for help.
Exactly.
JW, I feel like that is a perfect way to wrap up. But before I let you go, we're going to play a quick little game. It is called Taylor's Would You Rather. So I made you 6 Would You Rather questions, and I made them about you. And you have to tell me which one you would rather do. But you only have 3 seconds to answer.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I must say, I wrote this question and I didn't know you were making a capsule form, but we'll just go along with it. Would you rather take a capsule vitamin or a liquid vitamin?
Liquid.
Regarding your own business, would you rather go without working for an entire month or work for a full month straight?
Full month straight.
Would you rather go back to the oil business or start a brand new business from scratch?
Brand new business from scratch.
Would you rather live on a remote island or back in the mountains?
That's an easy one, remote island.
I figured. Would you rather have an NFL player be the spokesperson for Botanic Tonics or a well-known university be a sponsor?
Well-known university.
Last one. What would you rather have be the new Botanic Tonics flavor? Orange or grape?
Orange.
Yes, I was hoping you were going to say orange. Orange would be a hit. Well, JW, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. I was really looking forward to meeting you and hearing all about the backstory and about these plant medications. So I appreciate it more than you know.
I really appreciate you having me on. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Our goal is to always give you the content you didn't know you needed to know and to make sure you're always on point. I'm Taylor Burke. Thank you for listening.